At this time, I'll invite you to please rise out of reverence for the Word of God. And this morning, our scripture lesson, as you see, comes from Philippians 1, starting in verse 19, rather, and going through verse 26. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. And please once again bow your heads with me as we prepare our hearts to reflect on that word. Well, again, Father, we thank you and praise you for this time today, and we thank you for your word and for all that it says to us, both that which is easy to receive and comforting and that which is difficult and with which we struggle. But we pray, Lord, that in all things you would help us come to a better understanding of your word, of your truth, of who you are and what you have done for us, of the hope that you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, that in this way, we will be reassured in this life through both the good times as well as the bad. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's often said, and I think we all know it to be true, that two things are certain in life, right? And those two things are death and taxes. And yes, we're going to have a lot of politicians over the next year getting up before us, some promising to lower our taxes, some promising the exact opposite. But our focus this morning is on the other, right? We're going to be talking this morning about death. And death, we all know, is something that is absolutely certain. From a very young age, whether, you know, we can pinpoint the time where it clicks or not, but from a very young age, we become aware of the fact that all people die, and more than that, we become aware of the fact that we ourselves will one day die. And none of us, of course, know when that time will come, and unless we're suffering from a very serious medical condition, few of us know exactly how we will die. But we do know with certainty that death will one day come to us. And we know this in a couple of ways. We know this, first of all, because very early in life, we all begin to lose people who are close to us. From very early on in life, we begin to lose friends. We begin to lose loved ones. Early on in life, I remember attending funerals for great-grandparents. And I'm talking about when I was very small. So those memories are very, very hazy, but they are there. I remember attending the funeral for my dad's cousin, who was a construction worker who was killed in an accident at work. I remember at a very young age attending the funeral of a friend of my dad's, a co-worker who was a friend of our family. He was a Gideon, so a very strong believer, but a man who was killed in a tragic car accident. As I got a little bit older, but still pretty young, I remember a student at my junior high school who tragically died in an accident. And then as I got older, there were still others. My grandfather on my dad's side dying of lung cancer when I was 12 years old. My grandfather on my mother's side dying of a heart attack when I was 17. And we can go on from there. And of course, I've lost many others throughout the course of the years. You might remember my mom was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer. and died only a year and a half after I began serving here at Prince of Peace. My father, he's currently in end-stage heart failure. The doctors told him a year and a half ago that he had 6 months to live, so he's doing pretty good. He's still with us, thankfully, but again, we don't know for how much longer. And the same, of course, is true of any one of you. If asked, you could talk to me endlessly about the losses that you remember early on in your life. You could talk about the losses that you've experienced in the years since. We know also that death is certain, not only from our life experience, but we know it from the teaching of Scripture. We run into this from the very, very beginning of the Word of God, in the third chapter of Genesis. And we're not going to go into it in detail, but you remember that in the middle of the Garden of Eden, there was this tree called the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, and God told Adam and Eve that if they ate of that tree, they would die. And we see later that after they sinned against God, he declared that they would return to the dust from which they had been made. He declared, in other words, that they would die. And in the meantime, he said, their lives would be those of suffering. And this then is our fate as well. And we know this because according to Scripture, we have all been born in sin. Our natural instinct, our natural desire is not to love God and to obey God, but to rebel and to disobey. In knowing this, knowing our sin, we realize that death is what we deserve. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. And so again, in this way, he tells us that what we deserve because of our sin, what we have earned by our sin, is nothing else but death. And so death then, it will remain a certainty in life until sin is no more. It will remain a certainty until Christ returns and we are transformed and we are raised imperishable. It will be a certainty until we enter into the new creation in which we will live forever in the presence of God. Now, as a pastor, of course, death is something that I deal with quite regularly. I've been with countless people suffering from serious medical issues in the course of my ministry. I've ministered to them as their health has declined. I've been with them as the time of their death has approached. And there are several that I've been with at the moment of death. For several years, right here in our area, I have served as the hospice chaplain. I'm not doing that now, but it meant visiting those who had been admitted to hospice. It meant finding out where they were in terms of their faith. It's become very apparent to them that their time in this world is short. And it meant helping them to process this realization that they were soon to die. And in the course of this, it's meant having those very, very difficult conversations that none of us want to have with anybody. As they've received a terminal diagnosis, as they've been placed on hospice, I talk to them about their feelings when it comes to death. I've talked with them about their hopes and their fears, knowing that they were very, very soon to die. And I've been able to, of course, reassure them with the hope that we have in Christ. I believe, in fact, that it's my job to get people ready to die. That's not my job description the church gave to me, but I really believe that's a big part of my job. It's to get people ready to stand before the Lord. And this is something we all need, no matter where we find ourselves in life, whether we are young, whether we are old, whether we are healthy, or whether we are sick. And it's needed because, again, as we read in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. This, in other words, is what we have in store for us. Death and judgment are what we have awaiting us. And knowing this, as we look at our scripture lesson for this morning, the question we want to ask ourselves is this: what is the Christian view of death? What is the scriptural view of death? As Christians, as believers, how should we view death? And we're going to look at the opposite next week, just to give you a little preview. We're going to talk about the Christian view of life, looking at the very same scripture passage that we're looking at today. But again, today, this morning, our focus is on the end of our life here in this world. But as Paul wrote the words of our lesson for today, he was facing the possibility of death. And it wasn't because he was old, it wasn't because he was sick, nor had he been in an accident of some sort, but he had been imprisoned because of his faith and because of his ministry. He was awaiting trial. He was awaiting a trial where the verdict, where the sentence may have very well resulted in his execution. And so this background then informs everything that he wrote in this letter. And it was clearly on his mind as he wrote the words that I read to you a short time ago. He didn't know what was before him. He didn't know if he would be found innocent and set free, or if he would be found guilty and be put to death. But he starts out in our lesson today by saying, no matter what happened, it would turn out for his deliverance. No matter what happened, it would turn out for his preservation and for his safety. But when he speaks in this way, when he uses the word deliverance, he's not merely talking about his release from prison. Paul is saying that whether he lives or whether he dies, in either case, he will be delivered. Whether he lives, whether he dies, again, no matter the case, he will be set free. Whether he lives or dies, he will be preserved. He will be safe. He knew, in other words, and again, this is not unfamiliar to us, that there is something more than this life that we are now living. He knew that there was something more than life in this world. He knew that when his life in this world came to an end, something more, something greater was awaiting him. And he knew that this life was, in fact, eternal. So even if he died, even if he was put to death, he knew, he believed that this was not the end for him. Now, it would certainly mean the end of his life here in this world. But again, his life would continue on. As I think about this, and it's one of my favorite passages in Scripture, I think of the words of Jesus in the 11th chapter of John. Happened right after the death of Lazarus, and as Jesus was reassuring his sister Martha. And in this passage, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And this is an interesting passage as he's talking about life and death, and the two are so intertwined together. But Jesus is telling Martha in this way that he is the source of life. He's telling her that the resurrection, that the power of the resurrection is found in him. And whoever therefore believes in him, whoever has faith in him, he will live even though he dies. What Jesus means is that when a person dies physically, this does not mark the end of his existence. He lives on. And Jesus goes on to add that whoever lives and believes in him will never die. So again, this life of which he is speaking is eternal. Now, when Jesus says this, this isn't a denial of physical death. And we see this as we look at his words. No one lives forever in terms of this life, in terms of these bodies that we now inhabit. But the one who believes in him will experience life eternal, which has been won for him, which has been provided to him by Jesus. And this is the very same thing that Paul is alluding to in our lesson for today. This is what he means when he says that his circumstances, that his imprisonment, in fact, would work out for his deliverance. He believed that he would be set free physically, that he would be set free from prison, and able to continue on in his ministry, or he believed that he would be set free and experience deliverance as he entered into eternal life. One of those two was a certainty for him. And this, of course, is our hope as well as believers in Jesus. It's our hope as we consider death, as we confront death in any form that it may take. It's our hope as we face death due to old age, illness, accident, even persecution like that Paul was facing as he wrote these words. If God sets us free, if God grants us healing and physical protection, yes, we may absolutely live on in this world for a time anyway. But even if he doesn't, this doesn't mean that our life is over. Through faith in Christ, we know that we will live on, and we know that we will live on into eternity. Now, as Paul continues to talk about his situation, we find that in his mind and in his thinking, it wasn't about him at all. It wasn't even partially about him. His focus when it came to life, when it came to death, it wasn't on him, but it was on Christ. He wanted only, he said, to honor Christ in his body. He wanted only to honor Christ, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. He then would faithfully share Christ. He would faithfully seek to honor Christ, no matter what it meant for him. He was willing to honor Christ, even if it meant dying for him. He goes on to say, in fact, that to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And here's really where I want us to focus our attention this week and next week as well. Specifically this morning, we want to focus on his statement that to die is gain. And most of us sitting here this morning, we understand the gospel. We understand the hope that is given to us when it comes to the end of our life in this world. We understand that when we do die, although our body is buried in the ground, dying means that our spirit, it means that our soul goes to be with Christ. We know that it goes to heaven. And we know also that at the return of Christ, our body, our physical body, it will rise from the grave. We're not going to live forever in God's presence as spirits. We'll live forever in the presence of God as the physical and the spiritual beings that God created us to be in the beginning. And even though this is true, I think for most of us, we still hesitate to say that death is gain, right? We still hesitate, like Paul, to say that death is the better of the two. And what I mean is that for most of us, even knowing the gospel, we continue to cling tightly to this world. When our death is before us, we become upset, only wanting to preserve life, wanting only to live for a little while longer. And we seem to think, in that moment especially, that this life and this world is the greater blessing of the two. Quite often, we think that God's blessing is found only when things are going well for us here in this life. It's found only when we and our loved ones are healthy. It's found only when our family life is good. It's found only when our career is on track. It's found only when things are going well for us financially. We then struggle with questions and doubts when things aren't going our way. When things are not going well in life. We struggle when family life is bumpy. We struggle when our career isn't going as we hoped it might. We struggle when we are burdened financially. And we often struggle with this in times of illness. In particular, we struggle with this when confronting death. As the end of our life approaches, and as we see it on the horizon, we often begin to question God. We even begin to doubt God in that moment of time. And we seem to think that if God does nothing to make our life better right here and right now, if he does nothing to heal us or to extend our life in this world, that he has somehow failed us and that we are outside of his blessing. And we oftentimes rationalize this in a number of ways. We tell ourselves that we just want to finish our career, or maybe we just want to finish school. We tell ourselves that we want to get married, that we want to see our kids grow up, and we want to see our kids get married, right? We want to see our grandkids. We tell ourselves that we want to travel the world. We tell ourselves that we want to experience retirement. And we can all agree that each of these are certainly a great blessing from the hand of God. However, that being said, are they enough that we would give preference to them over Christ himself? Is experiencing these blessings, these worldly blessings, greater than being in the presence of Christ? And as we think through it in this way, we all know what the answer is. It's pretty obvious. As we think about it in this way, we know that the answer is no. Even though these things are certainly great, they in no way measure up to being in the presence of Christ. They in no way compare to the blessings that Christ has prepared for us. And this is one of the points that Paul makes, thinking of his own life, starting in verse 22. And in that passage, here's what he says. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So not that he could choose, but if he could choose, he said that the choice is not an easy one, is it? The choice between life and death is not easy. But as we look at his words, the struggle he's talking about is a little bit different than the one that we often wrestle with at that point in time. And we'll talk more about this next week, but if he lived in the flesh, he says, it would mean fruitful labor for him. It would mean that he could continue on in his service of the Lord. It meant that he could continue his proclamation of the gospel to those who have yet to hear it and to receive it. But, and this is what I want us to see today, he says that he desired to depart and to be with Christ. This, he says, is far better. In fact, there's no comparison between the two. Now, it's clear that as Paul was making this statement, no, he did not have a death wish. As Paul was making the statement, no, he was not suicidal in any way. He is simply acknowledging a reality. He is simply acknowledging a truth. And the truth is that leaving this world behind, it's better by far. Leaving this life behind is better by far. Leaving it behind for the blessings that have been promised and provided to us by Jesus is better by far. After all, just consider for a moment what we are leaving, right? Leaving behind a world of pain and suffering, that's appealing in itself. Leaving behind a world of sin is pretty appealing. And it's not as though we're only looking for an end to our pain. We're leaving it behind for something greater. We're leaving it behind for a blessing. We're leaving it behind for an eternity where sin is no more, where the consequences of sin are no more. And not only is that true, as we live in this world and as we trust in Christ, I think you can all say that at times you've longed to be in his presence. We long to see him. We long to look upon him. We long to hear his voice. We long even to touch him, to embrace him. And death means leaving the life we are now living for that. It means leaving this behind to live in the presence of Christ. And this, of course, is certainly better than anything this life, this world has to offer. Again, I think in terms of our faith, most of us understand this. In terms of our faith, most of us truly desire this. But that being said, it's not so easy, is it? Again, we struggle to let go of this life and to let go of the things of this life. But this, you see, is the Christian view of death. It's the biblical view of death. And for this reason, death is not something for us to fear. It's not something for us to try to put off. It's something to which we can look forward. We can look forward to it again, knowing what God has in store for us. And I'm not suggesting that we could ever fully grasp the greatness of these blessings. But again, we know that it's something to which we can look forward. And it's something we can anticipate. It's something for which we can even long. It's something for which we can be excited. And please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. Although we know that death means experiencing the blessing of God, there's always going to be some fear involved. And that's natural. It makes sense. Because even if we don't fear what happens after death, most of us, I dare say all of us, fear the process of death, right? And what I mean is that none of us enjoy suffering. If we did, there's clearly something wrong with us, right? And for this reason, we fear the pain, we fear the suffering that might accompany the process of death. And we do know some who have died fast, and most of us would say this is our hope, right? They die in their sleep or they suddenly drop dead. And to us, this seems like the preferable option if we had the choice. But we also know those who have suffered from an extended battle with cancer that has caused a great deal of pain and weakness throughout the end of their days. We know those dealing with heart issues who have suffered from extreme fluid buildup and just struggling to breathe and discomfort and pain. The examples are endless. And it's no wonder then that we fear death for this reason. But as I said earlier, none of us knows when we'll die or how we'll die. But even considering the prospect of suffering, the fact remains that the eternal blessing of God is great. It's so great, in fact, that we can say, just like Paul, that departing to be with Christ is better by far. And we can anticipate, we can look forward to entering into his eternal blessing. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this passage this morning. We thank you for this truth. And it's a truth, Lord, that is familiar to most of us. But again, it's something with which most of us struggle. We do cling tightly to this life. Quite often, Lord, we do sincerely seem to think that the blessings of this life are greater than that which are to come. But help us to grasp, Lord. Help us to take hold of the blessing that you have promised us. Help us to understand that what you have prepared, what is in store for us, is better by far. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to enter it faithfully, trusting in you, anticipating these wondrous blessings that you provided by your death on the cross and your resurrection from the grave. And we pray all of this morning in Jesus' name.